Stay in the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas.
KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
Here is tonight's show. I'm getting real good at counting backwards, Yo-Yo.
I'm trying to help you.
At least from five. Would that make me a good astronaut?
Yes. You got to start at 10, though. But
So I'm just like...
You're a half astronaut.
Scoreboard for Yo-Yo. How about that?
Would he be better? Would you be better in the control room or in the ship itself if you're the captain?
Oh, I'm driving that bitch.
Driving it? Okay.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'll double clutch. I'd do it all.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem. I can hit the four-wheel drive button if we need it.
Can you parallel park?
I can parallel park it. I don't need a safety flag. I could drop it. I could back it in between two close asteroids.
You know,
if there's two really, really big asteroids, I can squeeze it right in between. You know, not a problem.
You know, my dad used to always talking about double clutching an A-flat tractor trailer.
There you go.
I don't know what that means. But I know what double clutching means because I used to drive those 18-wheelers, but I don't know what an A-flat tractor trailer is. So
yeah, I don't know what that is either. An A-flat?
Yeah, he also used to tell me.
I thought that was a musical term.
But you know what? He also told me that if I didn't straighten up, he was going to hit me so hard I was going to hum like a 10-penny finishing nail just got hit by a greasy ball-peen hammer.
Boy, that's a serious one-liner right there, dude.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot to take in all at one time when you're in trouble.
First of all, I had to find out what a 10-penny finishing nail was, and then I had to figure out. I know what a ball-peen hammer,
right.
But I didn't know why it had to be greasy. So
yeah,
that saves you, man.
That saves the spark, right?
I guess I don't know. He had a bunch of those things. He always talked about distances. If it was a short distance, it was just a hop, skip, and a couple of hoe handles.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a long distance, it was two heifer steps and a piece of string with a knot tied in it.
Shame and me.
Country saying, boy.
I was going to say, man, he must have been rural, as they say.
He grew up in the great city of Cleburne, Texas.
In Cleburne.
Played for the state championship Cleburne Yellow Jacket football team.
How about
it? And in the DZ.
Did he play in the one-of-a-kind Corps of Conservation built Rock Stadium where the backstretch of the track went behind the bleachers?
Yeah, that was the stadium awesome. That was built while he was going to school, I reckon, or just after he went to school. But they played and won the state championship. And, funny thing, he runs into guys he played with. Of course, a lot of them own ranches down there, so that's where we used to go fishing all the time. But he ran into a guy that was his quarterback.
Oh, wow.
In Pueblo, Colorado, was on the radio there in Pueblo. And my dad called in and said, whatever the guy is, this a wrong way so-and-so? Because apparently he had a bootleg play that it was like a sweep right. Mm-hmm. And he would always spin and go around to the left. So everybody's blocking to the right and the quarterback's going to the left. So they scored, but you know, he went the wrong way.
That's the old naked bootleg right
that's
there.
Right.
And then, so Chad, you brought up something and I wanted to talk about it. You talked about the bleachers and if someone's doing a 200 and you're sitting in a certain part of the bleachers, you can't even see.
If they're running the 400, you don't see half the race.
No, unless, that's amazing, man.
Unless you're on the top row of the visitor's side.
Yeah.
Right. Then you look back down over it, and they're running.
Right.
Yes.
So
yeah.
White House is like that, too. I'd never seen that until I went to a regional track meet there.
Okay.
And it's like you're in suspense. You're watching a 400. You're sitting in the home side, and those kids disappear. behind the bleachers, you're like, oh, and then you're waiting for them to come out on the other side.
Right. It's like, what just happened? Yeah. I've never been, that I know of, I've never been to White House, but I did back in the 90s when my nephew was playing for Art Briles at for the Yellow Jackets of Stephenville, and on that little run there that was pretty phenomenal. But we would go over there, and I'm not, you know, Stephenville had an incredible following for their, you know, they were just so, such a powerhouse at the time. And for a 7:30 kickoff on a Friday night, you better get there about 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to sit there for three and a half hours, or there just wouldn't be any seats, you know, their stadium. Cleburne has built a new stadium now. It's a lot different, a lot bigger. It's, you know, it's similar to ours here in Waxahachie. But yeah, it's pretty phenomenal.
So in track terms, you're saying that the visitors' bleachers were in the infield.
They were in the they were on the sideline, basically. Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
It is really crazy. Yeah, there's some funny stuff that happens.
Back
in those days, and then you kind of think too that, I mean, obviously there was a big transition in track from when they switched from, you know, yards to meters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that wouldn't have mattered much on the track, and they were running track before those conservation Corps of Engineers. Yeah, Corps of Engineers, Conservation Corps. I think that's what it was, Conservation Corps. Basically. You know, they were trying to get stuff built when the times were tough and the depression and all of that.
Right.
So they would create jobs and do more public service type work.
WPA. And
there you go. Yeah.
All that stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding that's when that old stadium was built. And I don't know if it's still there or not. It was pretty. It was rock and all that.
Yeah. I haven't been
down
to Cleburne.
It's kind of down in town, but I don't remember.
I hadn't been to Cleburne in so long, so I can't tell you for sure. But
I hadn't been there since Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean you didn't go down Henderson Avenue just to drive by the
station? No, you know, I took the loop. That's all I can say. I just took the loop. I just stayed on Business 67 and
I like
breezed on through.
About track, and you know how old school someone is based on, like, when they are referencing a race and they say, hey, the 220 meters or the 220 yards, and then they catch themselves.
Oh,
and they're like, oh, I mean, 200 meters. I'm like, well, back in your time, you know, you were running it or you were coaching that.
My dad swears that the downfall of track was that they switched from yards to meters. And I'm no, I don't think so, Dad. It's not that big a deal, really.
America.
Right.
America.
Right.
America.
Well, I know I used to run 9.8 when it was 100 yards, and now they're running a 10.1. Okay, well, they're still fast. It doesn't matter.
That is fast, man. A 9.8, 100 yard, and a 10.1, 100 meter. Boy, that's smoking either way.
That is. Yeah, it's moving along.
Shoot, man.
It would be interesting to see, though, like some of these, you know, these rocket fast people, you know, Usain Bolt or whatever. I wonder what he would run 100 yards in. He'd run an 8.9.
Shoot, so do you guys remember he was I think at his peak, he ran like a 9.79, 100 meter,
right?
9.8, Gosh, dog. So maybe. I mean, those fast, those dudes like Justin Gatlin, just unbelievably smoking.
Well, when you put the science to it, though, you know, Usain Bolt would take 41 strides.
Yeah.
Where everybody else he's running again because he's 6'5", so everybody else is taking 43.
Yeah.
So when you think of it in terms of steps, but still to have the twitcher motion or twitcher muscles like that, be it with that – with that height, I just wonder what he would have been able to do, like on a basketball court or something, if he had grown up playing basketball.
So he did. He did play some soccer.
Yeah,
when he
they
was
all
younger,
do,
you know,
right?
And, that's a that's a big deal there. So
sure. I owe Chad an apology. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard you apologize.
I know you're unapologetic, yo-yo.
It's not for me. It's because the Texas Longhorn Lady Longhorns.
Oh, here we
knocked out the Texas A&M Aggies in the softball playoff thing.
Shoot, at least
go
they
to
got
the
to
World
play.
Series. And the last game, I think Texas won like 11-5 or something like that. It was kind of a dusting.
Well, thank you for apologizing.
you're welcome. I mean, I'm not
most
gloating.
People just rub that in, but
instead
of calling it a rub, I got a rub on Chad because of the Aggies.
No.
You call it an apology, and everybody's sympathetic about it.
Back then, I didn't have quite the ego that I have.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Is that the only way we can get Texas and Texas A&M to play against each other in anything?
Is it inside of some kind of playoff?
No, they played baseball. I went to the – on March 28th, I was at A&M, Texas.
So they'll play each other in
conference? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They just won't do it in football.
Well, they will now.
You're dang right. 2 years?
Yeah, in
2024.
Yes, sir. You're dang right. Well, if they get scheduled to do it.
Oh, they will.
The SEC will be 16 teams.
They will.
They'll be in the Western Conference.
Right.
So the SEC's doing away with Texas,
A&M, and LSU.
Or divisions. SEC's doing away with divisions.
So you're going to have to play 15 games?
No. They're going to like cycle through.
They'll have four groups of four.
I don't know if they're going to do pods or how they're going to do it. And they're going to like try and protect certain rivalries.
That
Texas A&M thing has been a thing. What was the last time they played? How long ago? 10 years? 2012.
So that's been 10 years ago.
11 seasons ago.
You know what? I may be wrong on that. It may be like 2010, 2011. I think Johnny Football won the Heisman in 2012.
Yeah. But you know that,
before that
the SEC would be losing out on a lot of money if they refused to schedule that game on the day after Thanksgiving. So,
100%, dude, I can't wait to see it.
That would be a bigger marketing faux pas than putting a transgender person on a Bud Light beer can.
Hey, did you hear you know what they're doing with the cans?
I'm just being honest.
You know what they're doing with the Bud Light cans now?
Throwing them in the trash.
No, they're putting little mullets
on
them.
That's what I've seen on TikTok. Mullet.
They're putting little mullets on them. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, just saying. Well, and Miller Lite's doing the same thing, so.
Oh, yeah. Man. Guys, I don't even know.
Yeah, anyway.
I don't drink that much beer anymore, but I'm rapidly running out of beers to drink. So
that's right. So. Right. That's exactly right. You got to go to wine coolers.
Well, I drank a Yingling or something
this
Yingling?
Weekend.
Yeah, Yingling. That looked pretty good.
It was pretty tasty. Good.
Yeah, it was a light one, too. It was one of the light.
Look at you.
Yingling lights.
Really?
Yeah, my brother-in-law had
calorie conscious
in his redneck refrigerator. He had a whole bunch of them, so I just took one. So,
when I don't know when the last beer I drank was, but I do know this: I committed to a low carb diet on August 1st of 2018, and I have not drank a beer since August 1st of 2018.
All right.
There you go.
Dude, that's so 5+ years?
Yeah, closing in on 5 years.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry.
Yeah, closing in on it.
My bad.
But now, margarita is a little different story.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyhow. I had something else I was going to mention there a minute ago. I should have jotted it down in my notes. I got all kind of notes tonight.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying. I'm working hard over here, trying to earn my keep, you know.
Man, first of all, I was surprised you knew how to write. And second of all.
I'll say this.
Wow.
This is my brash, bold statement of the night. Mm-hmm. And I make a few of them every single show. It's just part of my makeup. But I'm going to declare right here publicly to all of our listeners. Our listener, my mom listens
singular,
to the show.
Plural.
And that wasn't a
my
drop.
My mom listens to the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that's the drop. Okay.
Yeah.
I have the best penmanship of anyone affiliated with KBEC Radio.
Well, I know it's better than mine, that's for sure.
I got incredible penmanship.
Hey, you know what? But I noticed that you write real slow because you can't read very fast. So.
Right. That's right. But I'll also step out there and say that's not only in print but also in script. Both categories, I'll win that contest. However, I'm looking at a note right here from the great – one and only voice of Waxahachie, Mr. Ken Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And the note says, don't forget, off next Monday for Memorial Day.
That's right.
So now all of our listeners know that we'll be off next Monday.
Right.
But his penmanship is pretty dang good. It's not bad at all. But I could take him.
So we're going to have to have 2 weeks of content in 1 hour here. So
is that what we got to do?
Yeah. You notice that?
He wrote in all capital letters
right there.
That's how I write, too.
You're all caps guy, too?
Oh, yeah.
That's how when I wrote the logs for the Navy, on the quarterdeck watch, we had to write in all cap letters.
We got a topic right there. We don't necessarily need to go to break yet.
No.
Because this is an important topic.
Yes, sir.
What is the point of capital letters and not capital letters? Why wouldn't you just stay with one and go with that? Why do we got to double everything up?
I have a theory.
All right. What's your theory?
My theory is that most things are rooted in different classes of people, and so anytime a class of people wanted to remain
separate from another class. A lot of it had to do with like how you spoke and how you wrote and how you read. And so if you make writing more difficult, mm-hmm. tougher to learn. So like what you said, it'd be easier.
So it's
just
a way
write
to create segregation.
All one case. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that's just a theory, but I've heard that like accents developed that for that reason too.
Okay.
So that's a theory.
All right. Yeah. So here's my theory.
Okay.
If you didn't have capital letters and small lowercase letters, all of the maps of the world would be screwed up because of the towns. You wouldn't know which one is the capital of the county.
Oh, yeah.
Or the city of the county, not the
county
capital.
Seat.
The capital county of the state or the county seat of the county, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. That's my theory.
You remember that commercial, what's the capital of Djibouti? It's Djibouti. Do you guys remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Djibouti.
I think it
Djibouti.
Was a Coke commercial, and it was like a grandpa quizzing his grandson on it.
What, so what is the capital of Djibouti?
It's Djibouti.
Djibouti.
Oh, okay.
So it's like he's trying to stump him.
I got you.
Yeah, we, in fact, the good ship USS Elrod stopped and took on fuel at Djibouti. As a
Where is Hey-o. Djibouti?
It's at the northern part of the... Nile, the Suez Canal. I'm sorry, Suez Canal.
Suez. So you've been to Djibouti.
I've been to Djibouti. Maybe it's at the southern
part. Was it everything you thought it would be?
You know what? I never got off the ship when I was on. I was on watch both times that we were there. Well, probably for the folks in Djibouti, that's one less restraining order I got.
So you actually haven't been there, but you've been close enough to see.
I was in port. I just didn't get to get off the boat because I was on watch. So.
All right. Cool deal.
We'll go with that anyway.
Let's go with that. So let's go to break. When we come back, we actually do have a show planned here tonight, but we're missing a key guest of our show. So we'll figure something out, and I don't know. We'll go from there.
All right. Anyway. Well, you know what? They moved my little red thing here. So,
Keep all that personal stuff to yourself if you don't mind.
Vamp for a little bit so I can get this. I got to get this out here. All right. I'm ready to go.
All right. Let's go sell some stuff. We'll be back in a minute.
All right. We'll do that. Let's first talk about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. They're right here in Waxahachie, and they provide the superior HVAC expertise that you demand. For the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs, call Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning today at 972-834-2568 972-834-2568 and learn more about all of their HVAC contractor services. That's Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. All right, we'll be right back after these important messages on the Press Box on KBC.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
"Those stomach issues ruined your birthday.
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa."
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, KBC listeners, it's the season for cooking out. And when you do, use Los Primanos barbecue rubs because barbecue means family. You'll be using a local product with premium quality blends with no colors or dyes, and it's gluten-free. Plus, Los Primanos barbecue rubs are lower in sodium than most blends on the market today. More flavor, less salt, and great for all types of cooking. Our friends at Los Primanos also support 4 local nonprofits. See their website at losprimanos.com. Plus, you can find them at the Waxahachie Farmers Market, Dallas Farmers Market, and online where shipping is available. Again, that's losprimanos.com. Los Primanos barbecue rubs, because barbecue means family.
Because of the Texas Veterans Commission, I was able to keep my home.
They put me in contact with people, which helped me tremendously.
To find services near you, visit www.tvc.texas.gov/fund.
Now I can go online. Yes, I'm a veteran. Select my service, then my county, and find what I need right there.
I strongly urge each and every veteran to use the Texas Veterans Commission because it's worked for me.
Sponsored by the Texas Veterans Commission. We'll be right back.
KBEC.
And now, back to the Press Box on KBEC.
And we are back. Yo-Yo, thank you for selling a bunch of stuff. We'll be reviewing the reports later as to what your sales were. But
all right, well,
numbers,
you know.
Yeah, numbers, it's all about stats. Numbers and dollars and closings. Yeah. I think you got a lot of closings during that break, though.
I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, okay, so to fill our listeners in, we got some exciting stuff to talk about tonight, and which is basically the bond, the recent bond that went to the polls a little over 2 weeks ago, three Saturdays ago. And a major portion of it passed. So there were four propositions, three of which passed, but those three made up about $575 million of a $595 million bond package. So headed to our studios as we speak, gentlemen, I mean like right now. On the way is Dr. Jerry Hollinsworth, the superintendent of Waxahachie ISD. So he'll be here shortly.
I better get set up in here.
But in the meantime, Adam.
Yes, sir.
If you would roll through that very deeply ingrained brain of yours of all this Ellis County sports knowledge.
Yes, sir.
We still got some few sports playing and winning and moving. It's hard to move forward when you're at the state level, but they're still progressing towards championships and stuff. Could you fill us in on that?
Yes, sir. So, first off, yeah, there's some schools in Ellis County that are already done, like schools out. You know,
yeah, that's right. Like Maypearl is out of school.
Maypearl's out, and like then there's some schools like Waxahachie and Ferris where they'll be done this week. So, you know, the deal is, regardless, if you've advanced to state or you're still in that tournament, then you're going to keep playing, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
So first off, we'll start with girls golf. Maypearl had a individual, Ella Forner, who placed 11th individually at the state golf tournament for 3A girls. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's a feat right there.
Yes, sir.
They're not that Adam, that's not putt-putt golf, dude. They're playing serious courses.
She would school me.
I'm
so bad, bro.
Yeah.
She would school me.
No, that's serious stuff at that level. They play they may play at Austin Country Club, or they used to anyway. But anyhow,
good for
Ellen.
Yes,
good,
sir.
Good job.
And then we have the moving on to boys golf. We actually have Maypearl representing again, Coach Seth Powers, dude, doing a great job. So they have a boys team, a fivesome representing Maypearl, okay? Easton Viator, Jacob Ramirez, Kaysen Gilbreth, Jacob Meckelberg, and Hunter Olson. And everything I see, I think that's either that's four underclassmen, I believe, meaning four of those guys
will
be back next year.
Oh, yeah,
that's
cool.
That's impressive, man. So that's actually going on right now, the state of the boys tournament.
And for anyone that may not know, five kids play, but they drop the highest score.
Yes, sir.
So they take the top four.
Yes, sir.
And all of that. So good for them.
Then we're going to transition over to the old stickball, the old baseball. And Life Waxahachie ended up losing their series against Salina, so they had a third-round exit, but congrats to them on a great season. And then Maypearl ended up beating Little River Academy, and so they've moved on to the fourth round, and they'll be playing versus Central Heights out of Nacogdoches this week. So good job on you, Maypearl, and Coach Robertson, who we had on the show a couple months ago, for leading the way there. And, man, still alive, baby. You know, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yes, sir.
Good for them. It's it is getting late in the season and, you know, not a lot of activity and just because it narrows down.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. I'm choking over
best
here, Yo-Yo,
best,
but don't worry. I got it under control.
Okay, I was going to call 911.
Yeah, don't do that just yet.
So I'm ready.
You get another thing, too, and this is really applicable to any program, when you're hitting your head on that proverbial ceiling, right?
So
we're here, and we keep getting back to here, so we know where we can be, but shoot, man, like trying to break through that ceiling. Maypearl, they've had two third-round exits in a row, so for them to break through that ceiling with a first-year head coach, awesome.
Oh, yeah, really no, yeah, that's it.
You know?
It's I think you reported last week, right? Ovilla Christian won the state championship.
Yeah,
right?
And Ovilla Christian, exactly. That's another one.
Same, right. Just I think they've been there like 7 times in the last 10 years and then finally broke through. And yeah, good for them.
Big deal, man.
That is. Good for them.
Yes, sir.
So are any of the –
better than wearing a gold medal as a necklace.
Any of the Ellis County schools doing spring football, or are they just waiting for fall to start?
You know, tell them how that works, Chad.
Yeah, so most of them are – they've kind of shifted. So, Yo-Yo, they have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can practice for 3 weeks in the spring, roughly, or a number of days, or get in a number of practices,
15?
I think. Is it 15?
I think it's 15 over like 30 days or something like that.
I thought it was, okay, for some reason, anyway, whatever, I don't know what the numbers are, 21 days, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You get more days in the spring, or you can wait, and you get fewer days, but you get them in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And most coaches have opted to shift and go the fewer days in the fall because it's right before the season, and get them dialed in then rather than in the spring when they may have forgotten what they learned because they're still going through an off-season program, right, and, you know, bigger, faster, stronger, all of that kind of stuff.
You're waiting on
during the off-season, do they – like, say you got a new head coach or a head coach that's there for his second year.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really get his program installed that well the first year. So right now, does he have a choice or an ability to get his football guys together and say, all right, linemen, go over here. You're going to learn line stuff. Wide receivers, go over here. Quarterbacks over here. Defense over there. Does he get to do that? Can coaches do that and kind of install their defenses and offenses now in kind of shorts and T-shirts, or do they have to wait till the fall?
Yeah, so it's a trade-off, Yo-Yo. So basically, here's what happens. The only teams that get to do spring football are 5A and 6A schools.
Right.
So, and what I mean by that is anyone could do spring football, but 5 and 6A, we're talking about the padded, like where you'll actually have a spring game at the end.
Scrimmages and things like that.
So 5 and 6A schools are allowed to choose. But basically, what you're giving up is an extra scrimmage in the fall. So if you do spring ball and have a spring game where you're fully padded as a 5A or 6A school, you only get one inter, meaning your scrimmage in another school in the fall. But if you don't, you get two in the fall. Does that make sense?
Okay,
And that's much more valuable to
it is,
typically.
Because you're closer to the actual season and everything.
Because that's, unless I'm mistaken, the spring game is not against another school.
No,
it's intra-squad.
Inter-squad.
So you're just going against yourself, which is, you know.
Well, and the reason I'm asking is because, in Ellis County, we've had a couple of coaches, one of them I know, that got in late
before
the season got started, and I was wondering if they would take advantage of this time of the year to get all their squads in shorts and T-shirts and say, okay, we're going to run through the program. This is what plays look like and things like that.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if that was something they would be doing this year.
Yeah, no, I remember a few years back, I think I got the names right, but when Coach Quintana left Red Oak, and I mean, it was like summertime already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Tony Holmes came in as the coach. I mean, he literally had a few weeks to get the thing lined out, shaped up. And
that's what I was thinking about. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, talk about it amongst yourself, and I'm going to be verklempt over here. So our guest has arrived,
and we are going to get him suited up and all of that sort of stuff. And, man, we're excited. I'm excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
I might even stand up for this one, Adam. How about that? Then I can see him.
Being a stand-up guy.
Being a stand-up guy.
Oh, no. They're talking about being stand-up guys over there. don't buy
intended,
into it.
Baby.
Don't
Let's
fall go. Into that trap.
No, do not buy into
That's
it.
That's good to know.
So just arriving into Studio A, right here at the World Broadcast Headquarters of KBC, is the one and only, the head guy in charge over there at Waxahachie ISD, and that would be Dr. Jerry Hollinsworth.
Chad, thanks so much for having me on, man.
Welcome, doctor. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you for coming. This is a topic I've been looking forward to for a while, for obvious reasons. You know, I mean, something really big happened a few Saturdays ago, didn't it?
Yes, sir. There's been a little bit of talk about that in town.
Yeah, for sure. So to quickly fill our listeners in on the overlying topic, I guess, and then we'll dig into a few little more fine-tuned things. And I led into our commercial break with a little tease on this, but our voters went to the polls and voted in We had four propositions on the ballot, and they voted in three of those four, which equated to about $575 million, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And then, unfortunately, Proposition 4 fell a little bit short, and we'll talk about that, I hope, here. But it was only – that was the small one of the bunch. It's only $20 million. But congratulations, Doc, on getting $575 million to go spend.
Well, I want to tell you, we're humbled, and we are appreciative to our voters in the community. It's a big deal for the school district, but for the entire Waxahachie community.
So Dr. Hollinsworth, I mean, how exactly does this start out? I mean, did you just wake up one day and over a cup of coffee you thought, man, we need a new school, let's go hit the taxpayers for $575 million?
No, that's not
farthest from the truth, isn't it?
No, that is not. Yes, sir, that is farthest from the truth, because that's not the way it happened at all. I will tell you that when I walked in the door in August of 21, and I was interviewing to become superintendent in Waxahachie in July of 21. And when I walked in the door of August of 21, there was a lot of talk about, hey, we're behind the curve on growth. And Waxahachie's growing, and we're going to grow for a very long time. And so we knew we had to get a plan, and we had to get a comprehensive plan in place. And the one thing I'll tell you is that as we listen to folks throughout the community, one of the things that's really clear is they said, we don't want a plan to get us over the next 3-year hump, because we know we're going to grow for a real, real long time.
Sure.
And so they said, hey, we need to get a plan that's going to take us, you know, into the next decade. And that's what we developed.
So currently, within our school district, I remember y'all had a bit of a celebration when the 10,000th kid enrolled.
Yeah.
But what is our number at this point?
We're right at 10,870.
Oh, wow. So we're closing in on 11,000 kids now.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I was thinking it was like 10,300 or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. So 11,000, just shy of 11,000 kids. I'm assuming you got a demographer involved to kind of help to understand what some of these numbers are going to look like in 2030, 2032, 2034, something like that. What is the expectation? What will that number look like?
Yeah, so by the early 30s, our projections are to have over 17,000 students in Waxahachie ISD.
Wow.
And then by the early 40s, we asked them to run that number. And listen, those numbers, you know, early 40s projections are not, they're not going to be as reliable.
Yep.
Because that's a while.
That's a while.
But we wanted to see where we're headed. By the early 40s, we project to have over 26,000 students in Waxahachie.
Wow. Yeah, because you never know when another good old-fashioned great recession is going to happen or something.
That's
of that
true.
Nature, right? Okay.
That's true. And those kind of recessions, though, Chad, I mean, you'll see our data shows that when those things happen, like a 2008, when mm-hmm. you saw that downturn, it impacts us. It slows us down for a couple of years. But typically in North Texas, you'll come back even stronger than you were before. And so it doesn't give you a long-term relief. It gives you short-term relief.
Okay. All right, Dr. Hollinsworth, here's the big question that I think if we were to grab 100 people and survey them, I bet this would be in the top three questions that each one of those people had. But how much are my taxes going to go up on $575 million?
Well, we ran those figures, and our best guess is that has an impact of 3 pennies. It will have an impact of 3 pennies on the interest and sinking tax rate, okay?
Okay.
It'll go from 38 cents is where it currently is. We anticipate it would go to 41 cents, all right?
Okay.
And so for the average homeowner, the average home in Waxahachie ISD is about $326,000.
What?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm way below average,
yeah.
Adam.
And then, so your average homeowner is going to, it would impact them by about $5.61 a month.
Wow. So less than 70 bucks a year.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's incredible that you can get that much benefit, educationally, educational wise, for a $60, $70 investment per year.
Well, it's a good investment. And I'll tell you, you know, there are a lot of communities that have been through what we're going through. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not the first ones to grow in Texas, as anybody who, you know, lives in North Texas knows. And we're basically where Mansfield was in the late 80s,
right?
Early 90s. We're where Prosper was 15 years ago. We're where Frisco was 25 years ago. And,
right.
And you know, a lot of communities have gone through what we're going through.
Cool. Okay, Dr. Hollinsworth, we need to go sell some stuff real quick. It's
going
to take us 2 or 3 minutes. Can we do that? And we'll be right back. And we got a lot of questions to ask.
Come on.
Because we're going to go down the sports path of all this new high school talk.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. Take it away, Yo-Yo.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Hey Jeff, it's Scarborough Renaissance Festival time again. A chance to get our party on 16th century style.
Oh, I love stepping back in time. All the jousting, sword fighting, fire whips, bagpipes, and how about the daily beer and wine tasting events?
We need to round up the gang for some fun this weekend.
And don't forget the artisan marketplace with amazing crafts and demonstrations.
I'm on it. I'll let you know when.
Scarborough Renaissance Festival. Weekends now through May 29th. Get discount tickets today at srfestival.com.
I've got a unique vacation idea for you that's right here in the United States. If you're ready for a vacation that's fun and downright affordable, listen up. It's driving distance for many of you, so no planes, no airline delays, no hassles. It's Branson, Missouri, the entertainment capital of the Midwest. Live music for everyone. Branson has 3 beautiful, enormous lakes, water attractions, live shows, great food, and tons of entertainment. It's a perfect vacation for you and your family, or if you're retired and you want to have a great time. And you can stay in Branson for as low as $99 a night. Please understand, this is not a timeshare offer. It's a real vacation for as little as $99 a night. We've got a free vacation guide we want to send you right now. All you have to do is call for complete details. Get your free Branson, Missouri guide right now by calling this number.
800-268-8279. 800-268-8279. 800-268-8279. That's 800-268-8279.
KBEC. And now back to the press box on KBEC.
All right, we are back. Chad Hicks here, Adam Olson, along beside me with Yo-Yo Dave at the helm in Studio A. And our in-studio guest is Dr. Jerry Hollinsworth. Dr. Hollinsworth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I apologize that it took you so long to get in with our security team, getting past all of my autograph seekers and all of that. It's tough getting in the building sometimes around here, but you know.
It's harder getting past all of his interns.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
He's got 40 interns in there.
It's tough.
Yeah, we're short on time and long on questions, so let's hit some stuff here if we can. All right, so Dr. Hollinsworth, you made a comment to me that really resonated, and it was such a great one. It's a very simple statement, but in a nutshell, what you said, you know, if you got a high school with 200 kids in it, there's only one quarterback or one starting quarterback. And if you got a high school with 3,500 kids in it, there's only one starting quarterback, right?
That's right.
So with this second high school coming on to coming into the network, it's going to open up a ton of opportunities, isn't it, for kids? Not just with athletics, but with band and drama and all kind of theater, all kind of other stuff, right?
Everything. And the thing that when I talk to people, Chad, the greatest concern that folks have is they want kids to be involved. They want kids who are respectful, kids who are going to be good members of the community. And all of those things happen when kids are involved in worthwhile activities.
Sure.
And so, you know, kids are better, they behave better, they become better citizens when they go through Rich Armstrong's band program.
Absolutely.
Kids become better citizens when they go through Shane Tolleson's football program. They learn those things, how to work with other people. They learn how to speak to one another. They learn how to be grateful for the things that, and those are things that coaches and directors and sponsors pour into kids, and that's huge. And so having opportunities like that as we grow, that doesn't happen if you just have one comprehensive high school.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I've always been amazed at how Allen has seemed to make that work. But, I mean, I guess they have, right? Or at least their voters feel like they have because they hadn't done anything else. But it's that's a really big place. And with my daughter graduating next Friday night, I can't imagine if I would have sent my kids to a big, any place bigger than where they're at now, you know. And, in fact, we even talked amongst as as a household about maybe we need to go to a smaller school or something like that at one point, but we chose to stay here in Waxahachie and have really benefited and glad we did, right?
Well, Allen, you know, Allen is one of those examples, though. People ask me about that. Allen has 29 square miles as
school
district. And as you know, we've got 191.6. Yeah,
leaning on 200.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I guess now let's go back to the how this all works. Okay, so a bond passes a couple of Saturdays ago. I think you told me when I asked if you could be on with us last week that you said no because the bond had to, what is it, be approved, or they got some sort of term for it? What's that word?
So by law, we had to canvass the vote.
Canvass the vote.
Yes,
there
sir.
We go. Okay, so did we pass that?
Yes, sir. That happened in a quiet meeting last Tuesday.
Okay. Yes, so did you wake up then on Wednesday morning and get your phone and check the school bank statement balance at the bank and see $575 million there?
No.
How does that work?
It doesn't work that way. You don't, number one, we don't sell all the bonds at once because we don't need all the bonds at once. And so, so you're able to, I mean, you can think of it in terms of, we may sell them in thirds, for example.
Right.
And so we may sell $200 million to be able to go ahead and start doing all the work that we need on those first projects that we have in place. What happened today, and you may not know this, we had a meeting this morning.
Oh, the late breaking news. Do we
That's
need
right.
to hit the sounder on that?
You may need to.
Here it is, late breaking news.
I got to find it.
That's right there, Doc. That tells you how much late breaking news we have around here.
I love it.
It's literally late.
It's late. It's right here somewhere.
All right, let's just move forward then. There we go.
Breaking news.
Boy, we're so professional.
You guys, this is next level. I love it.
It is.
Yeah, so this morning, we accepted the donation of 14 acres in the Saddlebrook neighborhood.
Okay, cool.
And,
so that would be east of town off of 287 headed towards like Rigger Springs or
yes, sir.
Or Ennis. Yep.
Yes, sir. And then our board also approved what's called the guaranteed maximum price for elementary number 10.
Okay.
So neighborhood elementary number 10 has a guaranteed maximum price that is just under $36 million.
Wow.
And so that means we go ahead and start moving dirt probably within a couple of weeks.
Okay. So to give our listeners a reference point, so elementary school number 10, is it going to align or look somewhat like or be in comparison to the Simpson Elementary School?
No, it's not. It's a different plan.
Okay.
It's a plan that actually my predecessor, Dr. Kane, had already commissioned to have done.
Okay.
And so it's a plan that was sitting on my desk, and we had it ready to go, which that's one of the things that's allowing us to go move so quickly on it.
I got you. Okay. I was just trying to give the listener a reference point, but, you know, if I don't know how many kids, and, you know, I served on the Long Range Planning Committee, and we were told this on a field trip, but I failed to log it into my pea-sized brain. But if there's Simpson Elementary had a price tag, wasn't it about $23 million, something
like $24 million about 4 years ago? Yes, sir.
And so that same school today, or something kind of similar, is $36 million roughly.
Yeah, and honestly, if you go back, we had that in our bond for just over $40 million.
Okay, so we're already saving money.
Well, we're just under $36 million for this particular one, which means that our bids came in about $6 million less than what we
had. Look at you. you.
We hope. So, hey, we're feeling good about that first rattle out of the box. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, awesome. All right, so let's go back to the high school then again.
Yep.
Where you have acquired, the school district has acquired land south off of 77.
Yes, sir.
Just south where the two almost, where 77 and 35 almost touch, or where you exit off of 35 onto 77, right? Just south of there a little bit. And that will be the location of this next high school. Right?
Yeah, if you're going south on 77, you pass Dunaway on the right, you pass the senior center on the left, you keep driving, and it's the property just past the senior center.
Okay.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. So that gives us an idea of where it's going to be. Dr. Hollinsworth, what are we going to call it?
Yeah. So that's something that we'll probably do relatively soon.
Okay.
That's something that I've already had some conversation with our president, Dusty Autry. We were having some conversation about putting together that committee so that we can go ahead and get a name in place. And, you know, and then potentially, I don't know exactly timetable on after we get a name, then we would hope to maybe select a mascot.
You were at the helm when the bond was passed, so would it be Hollinsworth High? Would that work?
No, sir. That's a mouthful anyway. That's not good. No, sir.
All right, so when you say you select a name and you select a mascot, is that a voting process amongst the board, or does it go out to the public or the kids? Or
no, our board has, that's one of the things that, according to our policy, our board is able to ultimately make the decision on the name. The naming of facilities.
I got you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
When I was in junior high myself, they let the student body vote for the kids, the mascot of a junior high or whatever, and it was kind of fun, but I guess, I don't know. For what it's worth, I'm a big fan of Delta State, and, you know, just simply because they're the Fighting Okra.
Oh, there you
they're,
go.
You know, they're that's, green. You know.
Delta State okay, Statesman, right. Unofficial mascot, stuff. Fighting Okra.
There
that
you go.
Yes, stuff. Sir. I'm a Horned Frog, so hey, you know, I mean, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so, but now we have another dilemma. So we got two high schools. Let's move into the future a little bit. We got two high schools, therefore we have two football teams. We got two baseball teams. I'm assuming each school will have its own gym so they can play there. But where does football and baseball play? So will we have another bond to build another stadium? I mean, by golly, you can't have another stadium playing in Lumpkin Stadium, can you?
Oh, yes, you can.
You and can.
There are school districts across the state of Texas that have multi-high schools playing, multiple high schools playing at one stadium.
You're right.
So that we absolutely can do that. It's pretty simple. You know, whenever Waxahachie High School is away, then the second comprehensive high school would be
sure.
Home. Yeah.
Yeah, and it happens right here next to us, right? So at Mansfield, they have five high schools and two stadiums.
That's right.
Neither stadium is at any of those campuses, and go from there. I will point this out, and I'm just going back to my hometown where I grew up in Richmond, Texas. They now have eight high schools and only have one stadium.
Wow.
That AD is earning his keep.
Boy,
right
he
there.
Is.
Yeah.
That, man, that's some funky Wednesday night varsity games and all kinds of stuff, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy deal. Okay, so as a manager of a school district like you are, how does this work for you? I mean, do you just open up a high school and, man, we got four grades, freshmen through seniors and all of that? Or will you stair step into it? Or what is your vision of how that's going to look?
Yeah, so no, sir, you don't open it up typically with all four grades. And what we would likely do is we would likely start with maybe freshmen and sophomores or just freshmen and then add a class the next year. You add a class the next year. We anticipate opening up that school in the fall of 27.
Okay.
Is about the earliest that we believe we can get that school opened. And so by the fall of 27, you're looking at maybe freshmen only or freshmen and sophomores at that building.
So then they would play from an athletic standpoint, they would play a sub-varsity schedule until they build up to what, freshmen through juniors or freshmen through senior at that point? Or
typically, when you have juniors, you're able to begin playing some of those varsity level athletics, and it's not unusual for a new school to struggle a little bit when they start, because they're coming to the game all at once. So.
For sure, I have seen situations here again. I'll go back to my hometown. There's one of those eight high schools is George Ranch, and when they came in, they had the number numbers to be 6A, but I guess by UIL rule, they only had to play 5A instead of 6A, and they won a state championship doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of unusual. But then the next year when they had to transition to 6A, boy, they took it on the chin then. It was pretty tough.
Well, when you open up a new school, you'll see your numbers at Waxahachie High School will come down, which will help us, you know, because we'll experience the relief on that building, and you'll see them balance out. We could have a 6A and a 4A. We could have a 6A and a 5A. It's really hard to say. Five, six years out until
actuality sets in, and you know. Okay, so what about the zoning? So how do you? I mean, are we going to see you with a paint roller out there drawing a big line down the middle of Waxahachie, or how does that work?
I got to ask a follow-up question to that, too. Yes, sir.
So on your zoning, we have not made any decisions about that yet, but what is important for me as a school leader is really you want to have balance.
Right.
What you're trying to avoid creating rich school, poor school. Yep. And there are a lot of districts that have done that inadvertently, and they end up, you know, all your new neighborhoods go to a particular campus and your older neighborhoods all go to another campus, and that's really not best for kids. And so what you want to do is, as best as you can, you want to balance the school's demographics.
Sure. Well, it's amazing too, because when you really dig in and peel back layers of the onion, you can severely damage a town doing that, right? Because you're changing the socioeconomic outlays of certain neighborhoods, which could drive property values down or it could drive property values up.
Absolutely.
And it becomes a very scientific type situation there.
Yeah, Adam, did you have a question?
So, Dr. Hollingsworth, I just wanted to piggyback off what Chad was asking. So, you guys got to educate me on this. Coleman, Finley, and
Howard
are our three junior highs. So then, unless we're going to build a fourth junior high, one of those junior highs would also have to split, unless we're going to somehow split all three.
Yeah, so our plan is, and Chad knows this, in the long range plan, there is a phase two to our 17,000 student plan. Okay. What just passed is a phase one.
Okay.
And we told folks that the entire time, that there's a phase two where we come back and we'll build junior high number four.
Gotcha.
And two more neighborhood elementary schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then two junior highs feed one high school, the other two feed the other high school.
That's the plan. But to Adam's question, there may be a period of time in there where you have, for example, you may have a third junior high, one junior high that's splitting.
Okay,
and then,
I got you.
And then once we get that fourth one, then we'll have two purely feeding each high school.
Right.
Understood. Yeah, good deal. Okay. Doc, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, but this is going to be a tough question little bit. So, our voters showed extremely, extremely great support of you is what I took away from this election. Yeah, we had $595 million on the table. We missed on Proposition 4, which was essentially about $20 million. But, I mean, in my opinion, they gave you a 97% approval rating is the way I look at that, right?
Yes, sir.
Cradle prop. All right. But let's talk about that $20 million. Because when the current high school was built, I mean, I'm just pointing it out, but there were some shortcomings there in the construction, not in the construction of it, but in the design of it and all of that. So that $20 million was slated to go to basically clean that mess up or get it up to where it needs to be. Is that correct?
Well, I would characterize it as go back in to add some capacity.
Okay.
At our athletic portion of that building.
Right. Yes. Fair enough. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So good. But we have some shortcomings there's some capacity that's needed there. Okay. So if we build a new school, we're going to build it to capacity, I would hope, right?
Absolutely.
And so then how do you stay equitable if we don't have the money to put towards that, you know, because that portion of the bond or that proposition didn't pass?
Well, I think, my short answer is we're going to have to, the voter said no. And right. So we'll have to, you know, my grandmother said you got to make do. And so we're going to have to make do with what we have at Lumpkins right now in terms of continuing to bus back and forth for football and for cheer practice. And so those are things that we're going to have to continue to do in the meantime. We need need to do some upgrades at Lumpkins. Weight room is in some serious need of some upgrades and some things that we weren't going to have to do, but now we will. And so we're just going to have to make that work for a while. And then I think you go back in a process here in the next 2 or 3 years of beginning to educate voters again. And you know, that may be something that we have to make another run at in a future bond, just to say, hey, y'all can see that high school coming up. You can see the plans at this point. You can see the renderings. And, hey, we want to come back and see if y'all are willing to fix that inequity.
Sure. Okay, so you mentioned earlier, like with this elementary school, this bid coming in at $36 million when we had projected it at 42, 44, whatever that number. So there's a savings there.
Yes, sir.
What is the legality of the situation? Can that money then be reallocated and go to set towards some of this $20 million that was needed that didn't get passed?
Absolutely not. No,
it
sir.
Can't.
No,
okay.
By law, it must go only toward that particular project.
Okay.
So we could do an enhancement at Elementary 10, but nowhere else.
But nowhere else.
That's right.
So that's just a... So then that's going to reduce that basic, you know, that... whatever we determined it was, $6 a month or whatever for the taxpayer. That number just comes down at that point.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and we look for those efficiencies throughout the process.
I got you. Okay. Man, it's this is really cool stuff. It's a good time to be living in Waxahachie, Texas, isn't it?
It's fantastic. And it really, you know, what this means is that Waxahachie will continue to be Waxahachie.
Yeah.
You know, there are other communities that we could all think of that aren't like us. And this community believes in its schools, believes in continuing to be great.
It's a heck of a lot better than teaching out of a portable building, isn't it?
Well, I have to admit, yes, sir, it is. And it's easier to attract teachers who want to come. Teachers want to come to a district that has a great plan for the future.
Mm-hmm.
They're not terribly fond of coming to places that don't have good plans.
That's right, yeah. I remember vividly 5 years ago when our current high school opened up and, you know, 300 kids showed up on the first day of school that they weren't expecting at all. But, you know, a brand new building is... shiny and new and attracts people.
It does. And
not only teachers, but kids as well. You know,
it does.
Yeah. Dr. Hollinsworth, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Guys, thank y'all so much for having me.
Appreciate it. For sure. And please come back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had your new athletic director on here not long ago.
Coach Womack hit the ground running. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, as long as they keep winning, it'll be a lot easier to make athletic adjustments and add-ons and pass to get the money we need for that kind of stuff, too. It always
winning
helps.
Is always fun.
It's always fun. That's for sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good deal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to conclude another night here on the Press Box. Man, it always goes fast, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
there was
sir.
A lot to unravel there, a lot to talk about, and there's a lot more to talk about, you know.
You're in tempo mode there, man.
Yeah,
2 minute drill.
Sure. It's an exciting time. I'm glad the bond, personally, this is a personal deal and not on the radio station or anything. I was asked to serve on the Long Range Planning Committee and was proud to do so and learned a whole heck of a lot. The night that they were – actually, we might even did it two nights. I'm a numbers guy. And the night that we were talking about taxes and tax rates and all these acronyms, I mean, my head wanted to explode. You know, all I cared about was just tell me what – my, you know, how much are my taxes going to go up? But for, you know, less than a latte at Starbucks – a household can make an incredible, or per month that is, a household can make an incredible difference in a community like Waxahachie. Yes, and it's amazing how, you know, when we have, I'm not sure exactly what our WISD population is, the city limits of Waxahachie is 40, low 40, something like that. Mm-hmm. But to think that we can amass $575 million for, you know, $5, $6, $7 a month or something is really pretty phenomenal. It really, really is. But with that, hey, so as a reminder, we're going to be off next week. They're giving us off so we can memorialize, which will be fun. But Come back and see us in 2 weeks. We've got a new offensive coordinator in town. We're going to talk to him in 2 weeks. So his name is Scott Reynolds, and I think you'll be impressed with the guy. I know we have been so far. But until then, I'm Chad Hicks on behalf of Adam Olson and Yo-Yo Dave. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace. Yo-Yo, tell him good night.
Good night, Yo-Yo.
So what is it? Peace out.
Listening to the Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC 1390 AM 99.1 FM and online at KBEC.com. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for the Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.